Hey everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast, and I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Happy Sunday, Heartway fam. I'm so excited to share in centering prayer with each and every one of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. Today, before we get started into our meditation, I do want to share a few words with all of you that I have just kind of been reflecting on this past week. And today I want to talk to you about the power that is within each and every one of you, and that is your being. So you see, most of us identify with our thoughts, our feelings, the titles others give us, and we make that to be our real self. But really, we are hiding from the truth, the nature of God that is within each and every one of us. So whenever we identify with all of these other titles, all of these other thoughts, all of these other feelings, we're never really and truly happy with ourselves, because we're always so focused on being everything that others and ourselves title us to be. So we never allow the space and the freedom to just be this beautiful being that God created us all to be. So today I want us to sit into who and what God created us to be, our simple being. We're not human beings, we are not human doers, we are human beings. We are called to be still, to be present, to just be. We don't need to be anything other than what we already are. And that is, I feel like, what keeps us away from living alongside of God and experiencing God in our lives. So today I want us to let go and be free of all that doesn't serve us. I want us to be closer to God, because it is only when we are silent and still and empty that we can enter into the kingdom of God. So today, that's what I want us to do in our centering prayer. I want us to focus on letting go of all of these titles, all of these pressures that we have to be anything other than who we are. So we're gonna get started, and I want you to get into a comfortable seated position. I'm gonna go ahead and cross my legs. You can leave your legs down if that makes you more comfortable. You can lay your back on something if that makes you feel more comfortable. You can go ahead and place your hands downward if you feel like you need to feel grounded, or you can place them upwards if you feel like you want to receive. I personally like to keep my hands in the center, it's just more comfortable for me. So we're going to go ahead and close our eyes. And we're going to begin by releasing our shoulders, releasing any pressure we are holding in our bodies. Go ahead and unclench your jaw. Go ahead and release. So we're going to take three deep breaths together. And as we take these deep breaths, I want you to feel as if you were letting go of everything, all of the pressures, all of everything that you hold on to. So we're going to go ahead and inhale. Exhale. Go ahead and inhale. Go ahead and exhale. One more deep breath. Go ahead and hold it. And we're going to exhale together. I want you to feel the feelings of letting go. I want you to feel relief in this moment. let go of all of the pressures, let go of all of the to-do lists that you have, let go of everything in this moment and be here right now. So often the pressures of life keep us from being and experiencing this true and beautiful present moment that God has. So in this moment, I want you to focus on your breath. Focus on the beautiful being. Focus on the gift that God created inside of you. That is you, your being. When thoughts arise today, bring yourself back to your breath without any judgment. Know that it's okay. Know that nobody's practice of meditation is perfect. You are perfect just as you are. But you won't see that perfection until you let go of everything that's holding you back from seeing your real and true self, the beautiful being that God created you to be. Today we let go of fear. Today we let go of all of the titles that others give us. Today we let go of the titles we give ourselves. Today we release all of it. Today we release having to be anything and anyone other than who we already are. We let go of all of it. Place all of your worries, all of your fears into the hands of God. I want us to spend the next few moments just in silence, listening to God's voice, listening to our breath, being one with ourselves and in this environment. So let's go ahead and focus on our breath and be still. Whenever you're ready, go ahead and bring awareness back into your body. Go ahead and wiggle your fingers. Go ahead and take a big deep breath with us. And exhale. And whenever you're ready, go ahead and open up your eyes. Thank you all so much for sharing in this moment with me. Know that these moments, you can have them at any point, at any day, any time of your day. Meditation isn't just about sitting with your eyes closed and breathing. Everything in life can become a meditation if you view it that way, and if you become present and still into everything it is that you are doing. So focus on your being, be the beautiful being that you are, and be reminded of that. I love you all so much. Have an incredible week.
Good morning, Heartway family. So glad that you are joining us today for Heartway at Home. I want to share with you a couple of words about being alone with God. There is a certain level of connectedness to God, self, life, nature, reality that can only be experienced through solitude. In other words, by being alone with yourself. Most of us are afraid of being alone with ourselves. There's one philosopher, in fact, who says that all of humanity's problems stem from our inability to sit quietly in a room with ourselves for 5 minutes. And it's interesting when you read the scriptures to see how God actually uses solitude, silence, this alone time to really shape and mold and build people up from the inside out. There's one story in the book of Genesis about a man named Jacob, and the scriptures say that one night Jacob was left all alone, and in his solitude, he wrestled with God. And that's really, if we're honest, why we don't like to be alone, because when we're alone, we wrestle. When we're in front of other people, we're fine. We put on a mask, we act like everything's okay. But when we're alone, when we're by ourselves, when we're stuck with our thoughts, we feel overwhelmed, we feel anxious, and we don't know what to do. That is a feeling that I know so many of us have experienced in our lives. But the reality is, healing only comes when we're willing to deal with those aspects of ourselves that we don't want other people to see and that maybe we have been hiding from ourselves. And the way that we deal with that aspect of ourselves is not by beating ourselves up, making ourselves feel shame, self-punishment. We deal with those aspects of ourselves by loving ourselves into wholeness. So many of us, we suppress our thoughts and our desires and our internal emotions. But what I'm talking to you about is integrating your thoughts and your emotions and your past and your narrative and all of the pain that you've been running away from, learning how to integrate that into your life, no longer rejecting any aspect of yourself. This is what some teachers have referred to as embracing your shadow side. When you embrace your own shadow as a human, you begin to recognize that God allows and uses both the light and the darkness. And both the light and the darkness exist within us. We can't just point outside of ourselves and say the darkness is there without also saying the darkness resides in here too. But when we reflect on our lives from a higher vantage point, from a place of awareness, what we come to recognize is that the darkness within us has a place and it belongs, and God uses it and God allows it. And so when we reconcile the light and the dark within ourselves, we can reconcile the light and the dark when we see it out in the world and when we see it in the lives of other people. Some of you may have heard the phrase before, wherever you go, there you are. My translation of that is, wherever you go, your mind will be there also. Wherever you go in this world, you're going to take your mind with you. And so if your mind is not at home within itself, doesn't matter what the external looks like in your life, you're going to suffer. And you're never going to be fulfilled.
And you won't have joy or peace or contentment in your life. And so for us, it's a matter of learning how to get beyond the clutter of our mind. And the only way that that can happen is by getting alone with God. This is why God has to get us alone, because it's only through solitude that all of the noise and the clutter in our mind can actually begin to dissipate. And in that quietness, in that inner stillness, we can begin to recognize who we are in God, who we are hidden with Christ in God, our true nature, and the true nature of what reality is. That's what we begin to see. There's this story about a wise teacher who once asked one of his students to go to a lake and get him some water. And so the student goes, he brings a bucket, but as he goes to get water from the lake, there's a horse and a cart that goes through the lake, and it gets all muddy, the water. So he's not going to take dirty water to his master. And so the disciple returns, and the man says, "Where's my water?" He says, "Well, this is what happened. The water is muddy." And the teacher says to him, "Go back and get me my water." And so he goes back, and by the time he returned, he noticed that all of that mud and all of that stuff in the water had settled down. And so he grabbed the water, put it in the bucket, took it to his teacher. And his teacher said, "Well, what did you do to make the water clear?" And the student said, "Nothing." And he said, "That's exactly how it works with the mind. When your thoughts are muddy, when there's a clutter up here, don't do anything. Just let it be. And with patience, as you learn how to observe and be watchful and become aware of your internal world without judging yourself, the waves in your mind will begin to calm, and you will begin to be able to see life in an entirely new way. It's a matter of not giving any energy, either positive or negative, to any of the thoughts that we have in our mind. The reality is, the problem is not that we have a bunch of thoughts in our mind. It's that we believe those thoughts. And so we get stuck in those narratives without recognizing it. We get trapped in our beliefs, in our knowledge, in our perspective, in our logic. Logic is the way of the world. Love is the way of God. And when you begin to tap into that love of God that resides within you, which is your deepest and truest essence, you begin to experience in that stillness, in that solitude, a whole nother dimension of your existence. It's what Jesus called the kingdom of heaven within, or eternal life. It's what the New Testament speaks of as the indwelling Spirit of God. This dimension of life, this mode of being and awareness, takes you beyond just the senses. It takes you beyond just the intellect and your knowledge. And it allows you to see things from your heart space, which is so much more loving and open and expansive than the ego identity and the mental structures that we have identified ourselves with and adopted as our own all throughout our lives. I love how some of the Stoic teachers put it. One in particular says, you know, people always try and go on vacations to find peace. They want to go to the mountain, to the river, to the ocean, to the country, across the sea. He says, but there's no need for the true philosopher to do that. Because at any time you choose, you can retire within yourself. And then he goes on to say that there is no place more peaceful and untroubled than your own soul. This is why being alone with God it's essential. Because that's when you begin to know yourself as a soul. And with that knowing comes such an expansive way of being in the world. So the way that I see it, there are two kinds of minds. There's the mind that looks outside of itself and the mind that looks within itself. The mind that looks outside of itself is the mind that seeks to solve its problems from the outside in. In other words, this is a mentality that is stuck in blame and in judgment. By the way, all of the ego stories are a variation of one single theme. And that theme is, this should not be happening to me right now. And so those are the stories that we tell ourselves. This shouldn't be happening. They should do this. They need to do that. This needs to change outside of me in order for peace to come within. And without recognizing it, because this is really the way of seeing that, that was handed down to us. This is the way that all of us initially see the world before we come to a place of spiritual understanding. And without recognizing it, we are disempowering ourselves and really making it impossible to change our own experience of life. On the other hand, the mind that looks within itself is the mind that seeks to work out its problems, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. In other words, from this mode of being, the problem is never outside of ourselves. Reality is not the problem, because God and reality are one. The only place that a problem could exist is within my own perception. And so by becoming aware and by taking responsibility of the way that I am perceiving, what I am thinking and believing, what filters I'm overlaying on top of reality, by taking responsibility for that, we can begin to change the narrative. We can begin to see new possibilities that are rooted in the love of God. And in reality, this is really what it means to trust that God governs the universe. To know that God governs the universe to such an extent that all things are always unfolding as they must. It always is what it is, and God is at work in and through all of it. And so when that's the lens through which we see, again, that's what I'm talking about here, seeing through the eyes of our heart. When that becomes the lens through which we see, now change and transformation becomes possible. And so there's one teacher actually who says, freedom is learning how to observe reality without interpretation. That's something to chew on for each and every one of us. The mind that looks within itself. This is how you begin to experience life in a whole new way and really transcend suffering in so many ways. Because we don't notice how so much of our suffering at times can be self-inflicted. And I want to say that very gently, very gently. We don't realize how often our perspectives that we're locked into keep us in this very small, narrow box that is really nothing compared to what's truly happening beyond that. So I actually like the story of Moses in the book of Exodus, because some of you who have read the story of Moses, or maybe you've seen a film about Moses, you may have noticed that before becoming the liberator of the Hebrew slaves, God's people, Moses himself was a member of the Egyptian court. I mean, he was the prince of Egypt. And so he had fame, he had influence, he had money, he had everything in the world. And if you don't know Moses' story, one day Moses, who himself was a Hebrew but didn't know it until later in his life, Pharaoh had adopted him as his own, which is why he had all that luxury. But Moses one day saw an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew slave, and he got so angry at that injustice that he ended up killing that man, and he had to flee, leave his old life behind, go into the wilderness. The scriptures say he was in the desert for 40 years. And yet it was in the desert, when he was alone, when he left behind all of the noise, that God was able to speak to him, and God began to show him who he really was and prepare him for this wonderful calling that eventually would be given to him to deliver God's people from slavery. And that's what happens years later. But it's incredible that in order to prepare Moses and shape Moses into the man that God had created him to be, he needed some time alone in the desert. He went from being the prince of Egypt to becoming nobody. Are you willing to become nobody? Everybody wants to become somebody. But spiritual devotion is about becoming nobody. Because your sense of separateness from others and from life is no longer there. You live from a state of interconnectedness with the whole. And so life becomes different at that point. And so that's why the scriptures say, aspire to live a quiet life. And mind your own business. And do your work in this world with joy. That's what the scriptures advise us to do, is to be willing to let go of this need that we have for stuff, for accolades, for accomplishments, to no longer derive our sense of self from the way other people see us and our status in this world. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to isolate ourselves from nature or go be monks somewhere, even though I've thought about it. But what this does mean is that even in the chaos of everyday life, even as we go about working with our hands in our hearts, we can always remain in a state of communion with God. We can always remain connected. So through meditation, centering prayer, which we practice every week, that is one of the key ways to begin to discover this dimension of life within yourself, to move from an identification with mind to an identification with heart, and to allow your life to flow from there. You can do this even when everything on the outside in your life is still going and going and going. You can be still within yourself. And what's really fascinating is that Moses, when he leads the people of Israel to freedom, when they are in the wilderness for 40 years, the scriptures say that he maintained an ongoing habit of experiencing solitude and being alone with God. Look at how the scriptures put it in the book of Exodus. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away. And he called it the tent of meeting. And the Lord would speak to Moses there face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. Notice that rhythm, that ebb and flow that Moses created in his own life between being and doing. If our doing in the world is not rooted in our being in God, we're always going to feel like we're operating on an empty tank. And it's never going to be enough, no matter how much we do. And we're never going to be content within ourselves. This is why some of the monastics of old would speak of the importance of cutting ourselves off from the world to go and be with God. And then after we've cut ourselves off from the world to be with God, we then open ourselves back up to the world and we re-enter the world from this rejuvenated place, carrying the presence of God with us and the light of God with us into everything that we do. And this is honestly what I believe makes Heartway as a spiritual community so unique. Not just Heartway, but Jesus. This is what makes Jesus unique and the way of Jesus so unique. There are so many of us here in this community who desire to see change in our society, and there are issues that matter to us very, very much. I think what makes us unique as followers of Jesus is the spirit in which we go about advocating for change and transformation in this world. The way of the world is the way of violence, and it's the way of control and manipulation and attack. And it's my way or the highway. But the way of God is the way of compassion. It's about approaching every conversation from a place of gentleness and humility and empathy. That's why Jesus said that we, as the children of God, are to be the salt of the earth. We are to season all of our actions and all of our words with the love of Christ, with the compassion of God, with the peace of the Holy Spirit, with the gentleness of Jesus himself. And that's what excites me, because this way of being in the world is rare, and it's time for people to begin to embody Christ in this way, so that we can truly see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. And the way that we do that is through solitude. It's through prayer. Prayer is simply the letting go of thoughts. And prayer isn't just something necessarily that you do one time, one moment. It's beautiful to begin your day in that kind of a space. I do it as often as I can. It's nice to end your day in that kind of a space. It's nice to intersperse moments throughout your day when you can practice the presence of God and descend from your mind into your heart and just be alone with God wherever it is that you are. However, this is so much more than just a particular moment. What I'm talking about is carrying a prayerfulness to you as you go about your entire day. This is what is possible for those of us who are willing to open up our hearts and humble ourselves and really allow love to transform us from the inside out, the love of God. And so that brings me to one last passage of scripture. It's the story of the prophet Elijah, which I've mentioned many times. Elijah, actually, this particular story that I'm going to read from the Hebrew scriptures, at this stage in Elijah's journey, he was miserable. He was depressed. He wanted to take his life. He asked God to be done with life. He feared for his life. There were people who wanted him dead. And so he had to run away. And look at what the scriptures say happened to this spokesperson for God who was dealing with so much pain and was carrying such a heavy burden in this passage of scripture from 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights, very reminiscent of again, Moses' journey, Jesus who spends 40 days in the wilderness. There's that's a recurring theme we see through scripture. Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him as a gentle whisper. He had to get away from all of the noise to simply be in the presence of God, to be with himself, because to be with yourself is to be with God. What God desires for us is not necessarily just for us to see him, but for us to see through his eyes. And that begins with ourselves. And so some of you right now who are overwhelmed by life, maybe it's anger and frustration, maybe it's bitterness and unforgiveness, maybe it's depression and anxiety, whatever is weighing you down in this moment, what you may need now more than ever is to spend that time alone, to go into your own cave, the cave of your heart, and to face yourself, to no longer be afraid of what's in there, to no longer reject any aspect of yourself, but to love yourself and to seek to understand yourself. Because even in those moments when you think you're going astray, and even in those moments when the old programming and the old conditioning and the old identity takes over, you're never separated from the love of God. Never. You and God are always one. What's missing is only awareness. And that awareness is available to us in every moment. love who you are. And anytime you feel that you're going back into an old pattern, don't beat yourself up. Embrace where you are and just come back to the love of God within your soul. Retire within yourself. Drop into your heart. Be alone. Be quiet. Be silent. And in that solitude, listen. Be receptive. Move beyond words. Move beyond concepts. Move beyond thinking. It's in being that we discover who we are and we discover who God is. And so, God, I thank you that you're calling all of us into this solitude to be alone with you. May our experience of your presence rub off on us so that we can carry into this world the very gentleness and compassion of Christ. God, we desire for your voice to lead us. And so we ask that you would speak directly into our hearts, that through our intuition we would become aware of your love, exactly where we are as we are, that we may flourish into the kind of humans that you designed us and created us to be. We open our hearts to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being with us.